worldwide on the Golf Club Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, the Golf Club. Yes, we are in the clubhouse at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. We're overlooking the Ko'olau Range and the most beautiful country club. President Obama enjoys playing this club. It's day three of the Mid-Pac Open, a great leaderboard. Hawaii's Nick Mason in the lead with Arizona's Nathan Lashley. He's the defending champ. John Ellis, Russell Thurber, then David Ishii, Dean Wilson, Kevin Hayashi, Philip Chun, Eric Dugas, Matt Pakala. In the clubhouse with me, first off, is Mark Souza, PGA Mid-Pacific Country Club head professional. But first, let's thank the sponsors who make the golf club possible, including Avance for cut, color, extensions, manicure, pedicure, cal gel, whether you're conservative or flamboyant. Avance.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And welcome to Jerry King joining us. He's on Maui right now. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you doing?
TaylorMade Hawaii rep, and of course, he's got everything about learning this game that we're going to be talking about. Mid-Pacific Country Club holding the Mid-Pac Open, the 2012 edition, and joining me in the clubhouse, Mark Souza. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. It's been it's a beautiful morning. There's no wind, and it's going to be an awesomely
beautiful day. It's an amazing, amazing tournament. This leaderboard, Mark, it hasn't been this competitive with so many top names in a couple of years. I mean, it's always good. But this is like with, talk about hungry. We've got Nick Mason. He came so close to winning the Pearl Open. He just edged out a couple of times. He's always in the hunt here. He's always in the hunt there. And he's at the top. This is the third day. There are 4 days in this tournament, right?
Correct. The 72-hole golf event. It's one of the few, I think it's the only one, 72-hole golf event for the local golf professionals and the amateurs in the state of Hawaii.
And joining us as well is the tournament chair, Michael Kawaharada. Welcome to the show. Did you have a tough day yesterday, sir?
I sure did.
I understand that holes number 8 and 13 were devil holes.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
Yeah, and I was...
I bogeyed number 8, but I had a 10 on number 13.
Oh! Ouch. Okay, now, Jerry, you know, I mean, I was talking to Tim Dietrich earlier. He said sometimes you have to approach a hole like that knowing that you're going to have a bogey and just accept that and figure out where's the best place to go to get that bogey.
Yeah, sometimes you approach it to where you're playing it as a par 5 and you're trying to make birdie.
Well, those are both par 4s. Mark, what is it about those holes that make it so difficult?
Okay, the 8th hole is one of our longest par 4 holes, and it's uphill, gradually uphill and into the wind. So it's a challenging hole. It's over 400 yards from the blue tees. And then the 13th hole, again, that's part of our start of our triangles, 13, 14, and 15. If you can get by those holes and even par as a competitor, you're doing really well. But the 13th hole is protected by the calve tree on the right. And if you don't place your drive perfectly on the top of the left-hand side, you've got that tree that's going to come into play. And that tree can knock balls down and turn that hole into a disaster.
As Michael is laughing and attesting to.
Hey, you sure can.
You do an amazing job, and I wanted to give kudos to Wes Wailehua. I think he was up at, midnight, posting the final paperwork that the cut and the tee times and everything?
Yeah, we finally left at about 9:30 last night, my wife and I, and Wesley was still there, and I'm sure he was there until the early hours of the morning.
Oh, wow, yeah, it's truly, and I think the winner of the senior amateur flight just walked the door, if I'm not mistaken. No, he doesn't want to be acknowledged. The GOAT is not interested, but congratulations, sir. You did an excellent job. No. Okay. so we had a beautiful morning, two beautiful days, and the weather forecast today. We've got a high surf advisory. It's going to be mostly sunny, a few stray clouds and showers, becoming partly sunny with scattered showers over the leeward side. Looks like it's going to be another gorgeous day. The winds are variable, light to 10 miles an hour. So we've got those very still conditions today. And the golf course is it vulnerable to these two guys playing? Let's start off with you, Mark.
The golf course under these conditions are fantastic. And I think the better strikers of the ball are going to be able to do really well on days like this when there's no wind. It's fantastic. They got to be very careful when they start approaching the greens. The greens are running probably about a 12 today, and the bump and run shots are, you got to be careful with those, and the ball will row and row.
And that's Jason Amoy's fault.
Jason Amoy is probably the best superintendent we ever had in the last 86 years of the club, and he's doing a fantastic job. The
yeah.
greens, it's not only the conditions of the green, but the aesthetic appeal of the greens is nice. You know, the color is there. Our fairways and roughs are carpet to carpet. I mean, it's from wall to wall. I mean, it's like carpet out there. It's like green. There's no.
I want to leave
wear.
It. No play. Can I just?
No bare spots
you
out
might
there.
Be sorry, Danielle.
I know I'll be sorry, but my expectations aren't that high.
Oh.
So it's okay, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
Jerry King, TaylorMade. Isn't that most important when you're going to go out and play that your expectations are realistic?
You know, I think that most of those players out there are going out and they're not having expectations. And it's that old saying of playing one shot at a time. And it's like Mark said, I mean, when the greens are rolling that fast, you have to completely stay in the reality of the present and say, all right, how am I managing this shot? Not even just how I'm managing this hole. And, it's such a fun golf course, and those greens are phenomenal. So I don't think those guys are going to have a lot of expectations knowing how fast those greens are and understanding the approach shots, how strategic you have to be. So I think it's the guy that stays the most patient and gives himself the most opportunities. And, of course, the ones who's rolling it. Whoever's
yeah.
rolling it out there the best, you know?
Yeah, both Nathan Lashley and Nick Mason are fabulous. But, I mean, they've got John Ellis. And Eric Dugas, he's from the Big Island, are both really good players. Who are, I know you teach and you coach. Who are you watching?
You know, I mean, I love watching Kevin Hayashi out there. I mean, you know, he gets it going, and, Kevin, he's wily. We know that it's not his first rodeo, just like, a lot of the guys out there that have so much experience, and especially David Sheehy. I mean, come on, if these guys are keeping it in the fairway and the short grass, both of them can roll so good. And then my great friend Matt Pakala, he's been playing so well, and who knows, maybe some of these guys that are in the top 15 can sneak up. We're only halfway through.
I know we're only halfway through, but I was just wondering when you looked at the leaderboard, I was curious who's the first person Jerry King went to see. What
position? I mean, Nick Mason at the top is not surprising. I mean, he comes out here and he plays so well. But, it's just like you said at the opening of the show, I mean, what a talented leaderboard.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at all these names, I'm going, come on. And then you've got, the amateur, young Lawrence Chan. I mean, come on, how good is he?
Yes. I know. That's what I was saying. Kept looking, going, wow. this is really amazing. And Ayaka Kaneko had a fabulous first day. What is she? She was like tied for 10th with the guys that shot it.
She was one over.
One over. And that's a fabulous, fabulous score. Stephanie Kono, Didn't have a great round the first day, but came back and shot a really nice 77, I think it was, in that second round. Have you been coaching Stephanie, Jerry?
You know, I was out at Coalina with her last week, and, you know, we went out, and man, she was hitting the ball great, and her wedge and putter, you know, is always fantastic and world-class. And you know, I mean, she's playing really well. I mean, just like Ayaka, they're trying to get ready to go over to the Law Championship, and, you know, I'm rooting for her. I mean, it's a little different when they're out there playing with the guys, and it's completely out of their comfort zone, and, it's fun. It's fun to see them out there, and Ayaka, I mean, she's been playing fantastic on the LPGA Tour this year. She's hit the ground running, so, you know, it's great to see both those gals out there and playing with the guys and doing their best.
Yes, and there's a young high school gal from Kalaheo. Is she playing this? I believe she's playing still. I'll have to double check on that.
No, she didn't quite make it. She's a senior at Kalaheo High School, and she did really well. You know what I mean? It's her first time playing, of course, in the Mississippi Open. She was given exemption by our committee chair here, and I think she went out there really well. She was very nervous, according to what her caddy was talking about, but I think she held her composure very well and putted good, hit the ball from tee to green, but I think the course was kind of stretched out.
Well, it's just like Michael's over here laughing, going, kind of, so I had a 10 on 13. Yeah, it just kind of stretched out. And the reason Ayaka is having such a great event is she's so long off the tee, right? I mean, how long is this course playing right now?
I think about 6,800, 6,700 yards.
Okay, and And then with the greens, what's the stimp meter on the greens?
It was running at 11.5 the first 2 days.
Uh-huh. And
it's probably going to get faster.
Faster, as always, Mr. Amoy. Thank you so much. We need to take a break. We'll come back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Our company has been in business for more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. We're in the clubhouse at the Mid-Pacific Open. It's the Mid-Pac Open 2012 Mid-Pacific Country Club. It's gorgeous. And we're talking with Jerry King, TaylorMade. Jerry, did you look at how many of these guys at the top of the leaderboard are actually kids in high school?
There's a couple of names that I don't recognize, but fill me in. Who do we have that's our young guns up at the top?
Okay, the young guns are is Nick Mason, Nathan Lashley. Then third is Lawrence Chan. He's a sophomore, right?
Yep.
You know him. Richard Hattori, he's a junior in high school. Then comes Russell Serber and John Ellis. Then we've got Tyler Oda. He just graduated. Basically a senior, right? Then we have Donnie Hopoi. He's a sophomore. David Ishii. So David Ishii, And Donnie Hopoi, a sophomore in high school, has the same score right now, right? Okay, they're tied. This is great. Then Eric McAtree is in there, but Kevin Hayashi and Sky Inokoshi, a junior, and he's one shot better, or not quite. No, it looks like Dean Wilson is actually, he's shot the 144 combined two-day total. So he's actually doing better than Sky by one stroke.
Well, you know, that says a lot about a lot of the junior programs and, you know, what we have going out here in Hawaii. And it's just fantastic to see these young guns out there, making these older guys sweat.
Yeah, indeed. That's exactly what's happening. Do you have anybody playing TaylorMade in the field?
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, you know, Kevin Hayashi is a full TaylorMade, and, you know, Eric Dugas and Matt Pakala, and, we got a lot of the guys that are up there in the top 15 that are TaylorMade guys, and, you know, it's a lot of fun, and a lot of the guys that aren't TaylorMade guys, and it's kind of like when we're looking on the PGA Tour, and it's like Louis Oosthuizen, you know, they pull off their fairway head cover, and you see the white head. So there's a lot of guys that are out there that are, you know, playing the TaylorMade products because they're so solid this year that aren't on staff, and that's always fun to see.
Oh, it is. It's great. It's great. So we've got this fabulous leaderboard, and I just want to mention that we've got the women playing next week at Ko'olina, the Lotte, LPGA Lotte Championship, and there's going to be a ladies' clinic. It's free. It's for men. It's for women. It's for kids. Paula Creamer is leading the clinic, and Stephanie Kono and Mario Galdiano will be assisting Paula Creamer working out this clinic. It's going to be fun. Everyone gets a free Lotte Championship ticket and a goodie bag, door prizes. You get to learn about Get Golf Ready, and that's a very popular group lesson program. And I think you'll even get a free Roy's Classic Chocolate Souffle. You've got to go to koolinagolf.com/ladies to sign up, but sounds like a whole lot of fun. Paula Creamer is just a really great gal. We've got with us Mark Souza has returned to the clubhouse. Yes.
Danielle, I just wanted to mention that we have our fundraiser for the PGA of America that's going to be held on April 27th at Turtle Bay, and it's a scramble. It's our once a year scramble golf tournament. There's five amateurs and a golf professional, and they really do help our education fund for the PGA of America, and I'd like to let everyone know that we still have spots available for that. That's going to be April 27th, which is a Friday, shotgun in the afternoon at Turtle Bay.
Oh, thank you. That's lovely. No, wait a minute. You gave us a lot of information. Got to go over it again. Okay. Well, what's the name of the event?
Okay, it's the Aloha Section PGA Scramble. And it's our annual fundraiser for the PGA of America Aloha Section. And we use the funds for this tournament to further the education of the PGA golf professionals and to promote the game of golf.
Excellent. Promoting the game of golf. It was a conversation I was having with Tim Dietrich, the general manager here, earlier before the show started, and getting people into the game, getting more women to play in the game, and how do we do that? And do we shorten the number of rounds that you can play, let's say 6 rounds? And, Jerry, I really want you in on this conversation, too. A question was posed this morning on Twitter. Do we, have daycare? Now, it was interesting what Tim said about daycare. It seems like it'd be so simple, you know, just have somebody drop off the kids. Somebody at the club can watch them. But, there's all these health regulations. You know, the Department of Health wants you to have training for the staff, and you've got to have, you know, full-on certified staff members, and all the things that the Department of Health wants you to have, which becomes a prohibitive operation. It becomes expensive. Certainly it's something that can be looked at. But one of the things that really made me laugh was when Tim, you'll be here to defend yourself later. He said, you know, sometimes people have to understand that, you know, this is a game of 18 holes, and if you're not going to commit yourself to playing 18 holes, then maybe you're not ready to become a real committed golfer. I thought, wait a second, Tim, that's so man. That's such a man thing. Okay, a girl What is she thinking about? A woman is thinking about the job she's got to do, the house she's got to take care of. How many guys do you know that walk around the day, and I haven't met one yet, who says, you know what, when I get home, I got to make sure I wash that kitchen floor. It's just not happening. So she's thinking about a lot of things. Why can't she go and play six holes of golf? What's so bad about that? And, you know, I've heard a lot of golf courses go, but Tim, we're not set up for that. What's wrong with me stopping after six and turning around on my golf cart saying, bye? I mean, it's not that big a deal. Tell me where I'm wrong, somebody.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm the guy that goes on the other side to where I want players to go out there, be it our women, our ladies, or our juniors, and, you know, let's play nine holes. Let's have, you know, I got to call it the emergency three holes. I mean, all my years out at Kapalua, we had the three-hole walking course. It was fantastic to get them to go out there and not only, you know, just you play three holes or play six holes, or, you know, there was three different tees so they could, you know, turn it into nine holes, be able to go out, and they're walking. And I love to see that. That's the way the game was kind of meant to be played, and it's fun, and it's kind of like all of our high school golfers when they go out in the afternoon. What are they doing? They're going out and walking, and they're playing nine holes. So it's a big part of the game, and you know, you look at a lot of the private clubs, and I know even over at Mid-Pack, you get the nine-holers, and it's a group that get together, and they get really comfortable playing the game, and then they graduate up to the 18 holes. So it's kind of a stepping stone. So I say give them the opportunity, let them get out there. If it's three holes, six holes, nine holes, it's all about let's make it accessible, let's make it fun, and let's make it affordable, and grow the game.
I like it. I understand from, you know, from the strict, I know there's a lot of guys, and I say that really specifically, but there's probably a lot of women, too, who say, if you're not willing to commit to the game the way it's been played for these last 500 years, then, but you know what? Last 500 years, the first couple hundred, they were just playing out in the middle of a field. And right?
Correct. They were wooden sticks and gutter balls and just out there. In fact, I remember reading an article once that I think it was the King of Scotland or something banned golf because they were because it was infringing on their archery practice, you know, to prevent, you know, to
that's right,
you know, to
yeah.
Mark Seuss is a golf history buff. I love it.
But anyway, but you know, but getting back to what PGA of America is about too is everything what Jerry says to preserve the tradition of the game. And see, there's 60,000 golfers out there that were introduced to the game of golf that kind of left, and our mission with PGA from the PGA of America is to get these 60,000 people back into golf, and Golf 2.0 is what it's called, and we're trying to get the people back in golf, and as Jerry mentioned, it should be fun. Again, you know, but don't take away from the tradition of the game. You know, the hole is 4 1/4 inches. It's not 10 inches wide. And it's, you know, again, you can go out there and play golf and you can talk about the different types of birds you'll see on the course and the trees. But again, it's trying to get it from A to B and the least amount of strokes. And that's what our PGA golf professionals are there for, to get you started on the right track with the right swing. So you don't have to go through those peaks and valleys all the time.
Love it. And I like tee it forward.
Tee it forward. Yeah, you know, if it's 400 yards for a par four, let's make it like 150 yards and tee it forward, and we'll make it a par three or par four.
Yeah.
But again,
yeah. Tee it forward and tee it up.
Tee it up, tee it forward. And again, that hole is not going to change. It's 4 1/4 inches. Don't mess with that.
We've had somebody who's very committed to the size.
Right.
I was just reading somebody who said that, you know, we've made the hole larger in some cases. That really does rub some people completely the wrong way, and I completely understand. What do you think, Jerry?
You know, I think it has its place. You know, I think that there's going to be, we will see it. We will see it on facilities, and it could be nine-hole facilities. It could be kind of what I would call off-track facilities to kind of test it out and see. And I think that the way, if they do it, achieve it, they'll have two holes on a green, and they'll have one which is the standard, you know, regulation hole, and then they'll have a different colored flag and have it over to the side. But once again, I don't see it being mainstream. You know, I went to a big presentation, and it was this company called Flog Golf. And
say that again.
Flog. It's golf spelled backwards. It's Flog Golf. And they're really thinking outside of the box, and that's one of the things. And one of the things that Mark is alluding to is the larger hole. I mean, having an 8-inch hole or a 10-inch or even a 12-inch hole for juniors and for beginners and for people trying to get in the game, because instead of sitting there and sweating over a 3-footer and 3-putting and 4-putting, and because it's all about how can we play faster, how can we have more fun, how can we get these 60,000 golfers that are out of the game, that have been in the game, how do we get them back and have some fun. But now, with that being said, I think we'll see it, and I think we'll see it on off-track courses to start off. I don't think it'll make it into the mainstream. I don't think we'll ever see it mid-pack. Definitely not a mid-pack.
Well, we're going to tee it forward here, but I don't think you'll see. In fact, what we did is we put a 3-inch hole on our practice putting green to get those golfers that are very seriously working on their putting stroke is to putt at that 3-inch hole, because then when they go out there on the course to 4 1/4 inch. It becomes a lot easier, and the focus becomes a lot keener before they get.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic, Mark. You get those little holes, and then if you go there and train, then you go out, and it looks like a swimming pool that you're putting into.
Exactly, and I love swimming pools.
Danielle.
Yes.
We have Evan Kawhi, 11-year-old.
Oh, wait a minute.
Got a hole
Evan,
in one.
Yes, Evan. Let's get Evan on this.
Punahou.
I think he's 12. Are you sure he's not 12? Because you can't call somebody 11. If he's 12, he doesn't want to hear 11. Evan, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, are you 12?
Yeah.
How did you? You scored a hole in one. Which hole did you do that on?
The fourth hole. It's a par 3. About 151 yards.
151 yards. What club did you use?
7-iron.
That good old 7-iron. Don't you just love the 7-iron? Wow. So did you see it go in?
Well, when I first hit it, it kind of looked like I hooked it, and the wind was blowing to the left, so I thought it was gone. But then I heard it hit the green, and everyone was like, watch it, watch it. And I looked back, and then we saw the thing drop, and my uncle was going crazy up by the green.
Did he take a picture?
Yeah.
That's when you want to have a camera on the course, right?
Yeah.
So this is your first mid-pack open, I bet.
Yes.
How long have you been playing?
4 years now.
When did you decide to take on this big golf course?
Well, my coach is Lance Suzuki, so he kind of talks about this course a lot. So we just go for the experience and see how, the course might be. So when I'm older, I might have, a chance of just playing it a little better than I am now.
Wow. So Lance Suzuki's your coach. And where are you taking lessons? Where is he teaching you?
At Olamana.
Olamana with Casey Nakama. Yes. Excellent. And did you practice here before you played in competition?
Yeah, we played. My mom's friend is a member here, so we played here about 3 times.
Good to know a little bit about it, right, before you have to compete. Did you find yourself more nervous?
Well, the first round on the opening 9, we were kind of nervous. I couldn't really get the ball in the fairway, on the green, and in the hole.
What did you do about calming yourself? How did you calm down?
We just took a couple deep breaths and then opened up on the back 9, and from there we're kind of working our way.
I bet the hole-in-one really relaxed you.
Yes.
Evan Kawhi Punahou, so are you going to take this up as like a... maybe something that you're going to go to college with, like collegiate golf?
I guess so. I mean,
you don't have to make a decision right now. You get a lot of time to figure that out and play a lot of different sports, so you know exactly what you want. Evan Kawhi, congratulations, acing the fourth hole the first day of competition.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Have a great tourney.
Thank you.
Okay. And we're going to be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back to the show. Jerry King, I know that you're over on Maui and you're racing off to Alaire Golf Course. Is that where you are?
Yes, we have a demo event at Alaire today from 10 to 2, so it should be fun. We haven't had one over there yet, and Mark Stecky is the director of golf, and we're looking forward to go hanging with him.
Excellent. That's Alaire is right between, let me see, Wailea? No.
That's right. It's in Kihei, so it's on the drive, like when you're going out to Wailea and McKenna. It's right there on the left in Kihei.
On the left. You just go right up the hill. Right.
Right up the hill, exactly.
Yeah, you're having a demo day. Cool. At what time does it start?
It's 10 a.m., so 10 to 2.
10 to 2. All right. Can you hang with us for a little bit longer?
You betcha.
Excellent, because Jason Cotani is going to tell us about this. He's going to do live television here. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the Jenny K that's coming up. And Lorna Nishihara is here. She was one of the board members. The last time I talked to somebody about the Jenny K, you were just about completely sold out, so to speak.
Yes, most definitely. Getting a lot more popular. We're looking at about 125 in the field this year. Last year we had 128. We had to,
close it.
Yeah.
Okay. The Jenny K is over 50 years has the Jenny K's been played here at the Mid Pacific Country Club, and it's for amateur women. Is that correct?
That's correct. All amateurs.
All amateurs. So we're going to see the top players in the state. Who are you looking at to really shine in this event? When you look at an entrant, I mean, Bobby Cox has always been good. But Bobby's like, I can't keep up with these high school kids.
Correct. Well, recently we had Christina Merkel. I don't know whether she's playing this year.
Oh, Christina's in college. We need to get her back over here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, a lot of young kids out there playing from, you know, the high school level. I mean, it's really a great tournament.
It's a great tournament. The most fun is because it's from high school through 80 years old.
Correct. 85.
I'm sorry. 85. And these women party, okay?
Right.
Don't they?
We have a great time here, admit that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, how do you, let's say you want to get good enough to play next year. If I wanted to sign up, is there an opening, or are you done, Pau?
Well, I was talking to Kathy Ordway the other day, and she said pretty much on the probably like a 20 index is pretty much filled up.
Okay.
There's still room on the A flight and the championship flight.
Okay, so A flight, championship flight, there's still room.
Correct.
And if I want to make that a goal for next year, I want to play in the Jenny K, because you go down to the D flight, right?
Correct.
And so, you know, I mean, you know, there's if you've been playing a little bit, it's possible.
Oh, yeah. Just
practice up and take your Jerry, isn't it in competition, doesn't this like push you and you find out where your weaknesses are?
Exactly, and that's what motivates you to go out and train. And you know, I've always I had, and it's just a really quick one, Melina Odo, when I was coaching years ago at Kapalua, he was like ranked number one or number two in the state in tennis in Hawaii. And I asked him, I said, Melina, well, you know, what is something you've learned in tennis that'll help you out in golf? And he said, he goes, well, everybody used to hit to my backhand, and that was my weakness. And the coaches would coach the kids to hit my backhand. So he made the commitment to go out and make that his strength while he kept maintaining what was already a strength, which was his, you know, serve and his forehand. And I've shared that with so many of my young golfers, just to be able to go out there. And when you play in a tournament, you find out what is that missing little link, what is your weakness, and then just focus on that and do your best to make that your strength. Then now you've made your game well-rounded, and it's just, you can have a lot of success with that frame of mind.
That's most definitely true. There you go. Okay, so that's something. And how do we get in touch with the folks at the Jenny K to sign up for it?
We're on the website, number one, or call MidPack.
Okay, there we go. And that's coming up. I'll be doing the show live from...
This is May 18th to the 20th.
Okay. I'll be here on the 19th with you. It's great. Will you join me then?
Perfect. Yes, I will.
That'd be fabulous.
You.
Lauren Nishihara, thanks so much for being our Jenny K rep. I know most of the gals are over at Ko'olina helping
that's
to get
correct.
Everything ready for the Lotte that starts next week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
On the show. We're going to kind of shift gears. Something exciting is happening in the world of golf. And it has to do with television. You say, well, so television's been in golf for a very, very long time. So who, you know, what's exciting about it? Well, from what I understand, Billy the Goat, who, you know, usually writes a column for 808 Golf, he was out there. He wasn't playing. Very strange, frankly. I think that's very strange. I'll have to. He won't tell me what the secret is. It's a long story. But he wrote this kind of some background for me, a little scener, if you will. So where do I begin? Many stories, so little time. How about hole 17? Wild Man, our rules official from Oahu Country Club, confirmed what Lee's wife recounted on number 17, a golfer who no one could identify hit a poor drive short and to the right. He then proceeded to hit a screaming line drive that I suspected was supposed to be a high fade dead left into the trees, unfortunately, yes. There was a noticeable thump. While everyone was trying to decide where he should drop, he asked if he could look around the back of the trees, kind of like Phil Mickelson did during the Masters. 5 minutes. Let me just wander around back here and see if I can find that. Lo and behold, the ball made it through the trees, hit the truck, a TV truck, and ended up short, a clear shot to the green. So it was worth looking for that supposedly lost ball.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And it was the people that were out there, they couldn't believe that, first of all, it made it through the trees.
Yeah.
It's not like it went over the trees.
And
we're not sure if it hit the truck or if it hit the antenna or what, but there it was, clear shot to the green. We had a couple of stories of balls that could have been very bad that turned out quite nicely. Thank you.
Okay. So what I was looking when I was reading this first paragraph, which was handed to me just moments ago.
Yes.
I went, TV truck? And they, oh, yeah, we're going to have live coverage of the Mid-Pack Open on television. Jason Kotani, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Absolutely. So this live coverage, what channel is going to be on? Channel 11?
It's Channel 11 on Oceanic, and the actual station, the network channels, KWHT 14. So on Maui and on the Big Island, I think it's Channel 3 in Maui and 14 on the Big Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are you one of the presenting... Guy, are you going to be the, like, commentator?
I am. I'm going to be out there with Tim Dietrich.
Tim Dietrich? You trust that he'll stop talking?
Yeah. I think I'm hoping he'll give me a second to introduce the golfer, and then he can go ahead and say what he wants to say about what he's got left of the hole.
Is this not exciting, Jerry? Did you know about this?
I did. I know that, you know, Pro-Am Golf is one of the... I should have stepped in to do a little sponsorship, and so TaylorMade, we teamed up with them. I think it's exciting, Jason. Great job pulling that off. I think it's exciting for Hawaii and golf, and great job.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get to watch, like, we watch the Champions Tour, the PGA Tour, the Euro Tour. How are you going to do this?
We're going to cover the last four holes the mid-pack open. We're going to also have two roaming cameras that will basically follow the leaders of the day.
The featured groups.
The featured groups, and those two cameras will be live, too.
Okay.
So the hardest part about doing something live is you need cables long enough. And golf's pretty hard. One hole is 400-something yards.
That's a lot of cable.
But those two cameras will be able to shoot the link up to the satellite and get it to work. So we'll have total, I think, 6 or 7 cameras. We're going to set that all up today as soon as the golfers are done. We don't want to get in their way. But, yeah, we're bringing in scaffolds. I think we're going to have 2. So it'll be something like the...
So like towers?
Kind of. Kind of like the towers. It won't be as padded as the Golf Channel's one. It's not going to look as nice as them, but we're trying our best, you know. It's not going to look like the Masters or anything that, you know, you normally see on the Golf Channel.
They got millions of dollars to mess with.
Right. Yeah.
We don't mind that you're working on a budget here. We understand. We just appreciate it. Where do you have your background? What got you going to do this?
I golfed since I started when I was about 12, when everybody started, when Tiger Woods started winning, I think.
A Tiger kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, you know, and I didn't really take it serious until I was a junior in high school, and my good friend Josh Chin, who I played with every day in our junior summer, and I got okay, you know, but I spent my whole summer golfing, and, you know, people don't realize how hard it is to get as good as these guys are. And, you know, at some point I just clicked that these guys deserve, you know, more recognition than they're getting now.
Okay. So what you were saying is I commit so much time.
Right.
And I'm this good, which is okay.
Right. No. I said, well, I committed a lot of time and I never got that great.
But you recognize, see, what's important is at some point you have to recognize where your strengths are and
right.
where you're, okay, this is great. It's not going to be my career. Yeah. What am I going to do? So what you said to yourself is, hey, why don't I feature these guys?
Right. Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. But where'd you get your TV broadcasting background?
I put this thing together with Dave. And Dave Gobert is the production manager at KWHE-TV.
Okay.
So we talked and talked and talked, and we put everything together over the winter, I guess, of last year.
Fantastic.
December.
And you got sponsors? You went out and got your own people?
Yeah, we did get sponsors. The Mid-Pack Open is put together. One of the major sponsors for the Mid-Pack Open is the Mid-Pack Country Club. And, you know, TaylorMade was one of the sponsors that chipped in and helped out. Put together the sponsorship from Pro-Am and the Aloha Petroleum and Closet Systems Hawaii.
Excellent. And my question is, Hawaii State Golf Association is also one of the sponsors.
Hawaii State Golf Association, yeah, they are one of the sponsors.
Yeah.
Helping promote, you know, the TV show and...
Lending a lot of credibility when you get the Hawaii State Golf Association to that. I'm waiting for the Hawaii State Golf Association to allow me to become a member, even though I don't have an official handicap. I mean, I don't have enough time to have an official handicap. You know, you want to hang here for a second?
Yeah, no problem.
I want to say thank you to a man who gets way too little recognition. And in all these years that I've been here, 12 years doing the Mid-Pack Open, Wes Wailihua is the guy who stays up all night long, it seems, and then gets up early in the morning and makes sure that the cut's figured out and he gets everything sorted out and gets all the information out to us, including the stats on how difficult the holes are and everything you can imagine. Wes Wailihua, thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Danielle. Aloha. How are you?
I'm very good. Did you get any sleep last night?
Actually, my staff left at about 1 o'clock. And I left at about 3:45, and we got back in at about 5. So no sleep at all.
No, you're looking good.
Not even a nap.
Not even a nap. It's a long week.
Yeah, Jerry King's on with us.
Yeah.
When you decide to do this, how long have you been doing this, Wes?
This is my 9th year as tournament director for the Mid-Pacific Open. And when we started it way back, I guess in 2004, we started taking it over, the goal and the mission was to try and give back more to the local professionals and amateurs in Hawaii. And, you know, with the help of Jason Amoy and tournament chair Mike Colorado, we've been able to develop it and grow it to something where we're extremely proud that the members can support it and can continue to move on.
Oh, you do a fabulous job. I mean, just the Jason Amoy and the work that he does to bring keep this club and the conditions around the course so beautiful. I think just a moment ago we had Mark Sousa describing it's like a carpet, the way the greens run, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and the best part of it is actually giving a lot of the professionals a chance to play a PGA type of event in Hawaii, giving them the opportunity to compete at that level. Very rarely will you get a chance, unless you have the support of a club, to put a lot of money into an event like this.
Yeah, and then now with Jason Kotani and his guys, including Tim Dietrich, being the announcer, that takes this whole thing to, another level.
Well, it's definitely another piece of the puzzle to try and make it a successful event, and it's something we've been looking at for the last 5 years.
Oh.
But the finances of it and trying to structure it is obviously out of our realm. When it comes to golf, we're pretty spot on with that. But dealing with the production side, it was something we weren't able to do until Jason offered to support us. So I believe the committee is definitely grateful for that. We're going to try and make it a successful event so we can continue to do it in the future.
And this is members run, right? That you're a member of the Mid-Pacific Country Club.
Correct. But the tournament itself is run by the Pro-Am, which we generate our money for. And I'd say 92% of the teams that participate are bought by our members. So it's a real strong supportive event. The members sponsor it. The members are out there volunteering and giving up the time on the course for the week. So it's a lot of commitment from the club.
Excellent. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah.
Is there something that you can add that I wouldn't know? There's so much that goes on behind the scenes of a golf tournament that most of us have no clue is happening.
No, but I mean, you know, from the operations side, which is where I come from in the event, so long as it looks fabulous on the other side of the curtain, we're fine. Behind the scenes, it's another story late at night, but... You know, moving, so long as the outside is looking beautiful and everybody's having a great time, then we consider it a very successful event.
I think of Disneyland, you know?
Exactly.
And Disneyland, everything looks fabulous, and underneath, behind the walls, everybody's running like crazy trying to make it just look beautiful.
Well, and Gary was mentioning this morning to kind of coerce me to come up here and spend time away from everything going on down there. He kind of told me in a way that I guess our position is basically we're the wind in the sail of the Hokulea. Without us, they're moving nowhere. So,
so beautiful.
You know, thankfully for Tim Miller and Robert Spisho, I mean, we're able to pull it off to make it successful.
Thanks so much for stopping in.
No problem.
And giving recognition and props to all those people. Thank you very much.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Wes Wailahua, the tournament director of Mid-Pac Open. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club. Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store, if you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, Do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Welcome back. We're talking with Jerry King, and joining us, Jason Cotani and Tim Dietrich are going to be covering this event, the Mid-Pack Open 2012 edition, live, the final four holes. Jerry, what I want, can we give away some rocket balls? I think I've got in my, I've got some rocket balls. Let's give away some rocket balls.
Let's do it.
It's 808-296-5467. Call 808-296-5467. If you are the 18th caller, you win. So when you're featuring at the demo day at El Air on Maui this morning, good morning, Kony. What do people want to know about when they come to your demo day?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a mix. It's a mixed bag. No pun intended. With the rocket balls right now, I mean, there's breakthrough technology this year with the fairway metals and the rescue, and with what they've done with the head design, and then they put the speed pocket on the bottom of the club. The fairway, the rocket ball's fairway itself is 17 yards longer than the already long burner that we had last year. And the rescues, the RBZ rescues, are 13 yards longer. So, I mean, it's amazing now to be able to see somebody hitting their three wood as far as they were hitting their driver. And then it's carried on also to the rocket ball's driver. So it's very, very hot with that. So a lot of people are coming out saying, hey, I want to compare my driver to the rocket balls and to the R11S driver. And the comparisons have been amazing. And so I have my flight scope launch monitor that'll actually say, okay, here's your spin rate. This is how far you're hitting it. We'll pull that out today. And it's been a lot of fun to be able to put clubs in people's hands where they can go out and have more fun, because that's the bottom line. So that's the biggest draw, is the new rocket balls. And not only in the woods, but also in the iron. And it's a lot of fun.
Okay. First question that comes to my mind, I imagine that will work for somebody who's pretty good at the game, but, you know, like, what about somebody who doesn't have a lot of time to practice? Will they see a difference?
Definitely, and that's the bottom line reason that, you know, we have 42 engineers at TaylorMade with PhDs. I mean, really? These guys and gals are putting so many brains and smarts and efforts into the technology, so people that are just out for recreation, and they haven't, maybe they play three times a year, maybe they play once a month. I mean, it's just to be able to get the ball up in the air more, have a more solid contact, get the ball out there so they can have more fun, like we were talking about earlier with Mark. And for the better players, you know, because TaylorMade has always been a performance brand, you know, really focusing a lot of attention on the better player. So that's kind of the no-brainer side. But now it's neat to be able to have these RBZ Max irons to where there's driver technology in every single iron. So what that means is every iron's hollow and it's thin face, so they get the trampoline effect to get the ball up in the air and get it high and long. So game improvement and performance, that's what you want.
That's right. Charles Takazue of Salt Lake, he's the winner of the Rocket Balls. Congratulations, our 18th caller. We were talking earlier, Tim Dietrich and I, before the show started, of course, Jason Cotani's here too, about length and how long the golf courses have become because the professionals are getting so much better. The technology for the regular player, the average person that we want to get back in, that 60,000 number of people who've left the game and we want them to get back into the game, are they going to get back in, Tim, do you think, with technology that will help them get the ball further?
Well, yes. The short answer is yes. I think that there is still a major breakthrough that has to happen in golf. And Jerry, maybe you can chime in on this, but two sports that come to mind that made a huge break and basically saved themselves and created resurgence among in their sports because technology was able to make the sport much easier for the beginner and much therefore much more fun. Snow skiing and tennis. Tennis went back in the late 70s, early 80s to these tremendously large rackets.
I remember.
And it saved the game. The game was quite have the hand-eye coordination or the time to develop the hand-eye coordination were able to enjoy the game. Snow skiing went to shorter skis and safer bindings, and that brought a whole image back. Yeah.
Yep.
And also, instead of, you know, going where you were immediately going to break your leg as soon as you went on your skis,
that
you could ski and you could turn and you could have fun and you could learn within 2-3 days to go over 70% of the mountains. And I don't see that level of breakthrough happening in golf yet. I mean, I can see where, you know, the tour players are hitting it, you know, 320, 340, 350 yards, even almost averaging that. But I don't see the average golfer benefiting from that kind of length, because I don't think that the average golfer's problem is really distance. I think the average, and Jerry, you've known this much better than I do, the average golfer, I think, struggles more with consistency than distance. And until they can consistently get the ball up in the air in the direction they're intending, I think the frustration level is high. You duff it or you hit it thin, and golf is very frustrating. Even if that's why we have 14 clubs in the bag. If you can't hit your 7-iron 160, it's all right. You've got a 6-iron, you've got a 5-iron, you've got a rescue to get you there. You've got other alternatives. It's just you're not hitting the same club. But if you can't, it doesn't matter what club you hit, if you can't get it up in the air, you're not going to enjoy it. What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, Tim, you're right on. I mean, 100% accurate. And I think it's up to us as PGA professionals, too, and that's why we've got the Golf 2.0 and the move forward to really try to grow the game through, all right, how do we make it more fun? How do we make it faster? And that's that tee it forward, and that's why I had tee it up. And for all of us, we've got to try to get that consistency of people playing from the white tees, if they're a man, or the forward tees, the red tees, if they're a lady. And, you know, we need to be able to change that. And there's a lot of golf courses that are putting even more forward tees. And that's where I think that we can really grow the game, changing that perception, and that you have to play from these certain tee boxes, and getting people to tee it up in a fairway and all the way until they get up there around the green. And, you know, it's like I always tell my higher handicappers and my beginners, hey, you're going to have a lot more fun, and the people behind you are going to have a lot more fun if you just tee it forward and tee it up. And I've gotten a lot of people to change, and I think those are just the little first steps. But, Tim, you're right on. You know, what we've done for the professionals hasn't gone right over to the players, because they need more consistency, and they need to have it easier right off the bat with how they play the game.
I want to ask Jerry a question. I'm sorry, Danny. I'm jumping all over this. But, Jerry, here's my question for you. And I guess if we can sum up the question properly, we can kind of see what the answer could be. But here's the question. How do we keep what makes golf special for those of us who are in love with it? When we don't lose the integrity of the game, the challenge of the game, the history of the game, the classicness of the game, how do we keep that and still make it user-friendly?
We were just talking about that earlier.
Really?
Before you were here,
Yeah,
it's okay. Let's do it again, because there are people joining us right now.
And Jerry, if you've got that answer, then your bank account's going to swell enormous.
You know, my vague answer for that, and it's kind of more of a general answer, is that I believe that it will never leave in golf, the tradition and, you know, the integrity of the game. I mean, I really believe that, is that golf has that core group of golfers that, you know, it's kind of the backbone of the game. And, you know, we'll always have the USGA and the PGA, and I think we'll always have that. But at the same time, we need to be realistic in modern day, in the year 2012, and say, all right, how can we think outside the box to grow the game and to get more people in? And then as they get into the game and as they get better, then they are more persuaded or more guided over to understanding the integrity and the tradition of the game. So, like we were saying earlier, there might be a few golf courses, and like I called them, off-track golf courses, to be able to experiment and say, all right, are there going to be two holes on the green, one at 4 1/4 and one at a larger hole? And, you know, I don't see it happening at mid-pack or, you know, Pearl or, you know, any of our holes here.
Oh, dear, we're losing. In fact, I love cell phones. Jerry, I think what you said is perfect. You can then graduate from, you know, the 6-hole or the whatever it is that you're playing at, and then graduate to the real game. It gives you an opportunity.
That's exactly right. It's right. It's the stepping stones. How can we get them into the game? And then once they're in the game, our core will guide them to the tradition and to the integrity of the game, and it will always be there. I don't have any fear whatsoever of displacing that or losing that at all.
Okay, I've got a question. How about the chance of Bubba Watson hitting the shot from the trees in that playoff, which you've probably seen. This is spreading. I think it's gone viral, if that's possible for a picture to go viral. It's the aerial shot of Watson's shot from the trees in the Masters, and it shows you in a little blue line all the way to the green just how he hit that. Did you see that picture?
I did. I mean, that is, but and with a wedge. That's the asterisk point. With a wedge.
52 degrees, 144 yards. You want to relate to that, Jerry?
Talent. I got one word for that, talent.
Talent. Can he do it again?
You know, Nick Faldo was talking about how he was warming up on the range and how he already, before even that, he was hitting, you know, wedge, you know, 1,000 feet up in the air and then hitting it head high and then hitting 40-yard hooks and 40-yard slices. And, you know, that's how he plays his game. He's very creative and he frees it up and, you know, he's not thinking mechanical whatsoever. So that's neat. He was actually hitting those shots.
He's outside the box.
Yeah. He's not even on the same plan. Jerry, I heard something just recently that I thought was really, really interesting. I can't verify because I definitely wasn't there, but I was told that Ben Hogan used to spend a half an hour a day hitting the biggest slice he possibly could. In other words, he wanted to just make sure that he rotated his lower body so firmly and so convincingly that he didn't mind slicing. He said he would catch up with his arms later, but he wanted to make sure that that part of his swing was there. So he was hitting intentionally the biggest slices he could.
That's amazing.
You know, I've heard that as well, because the one thing that he, I mean, I don't like to use the word hate, but the one thing that he hated was seeing the ball hook. You know, yep. He did not want to miss the ball to the left. So, yes, I heard that as well, that he used to sit there and hit the biggest cuts that he could just to know that he has that feel. Or if he wanted to never hit it to the left, he could. And we know how challenging it is in game time, but, you know.
Yeah.
Jerry King, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you've got to run and get that demo day set up. It starts at 10 o'clock at El Air, and everybody's going to be there, and Jerry's there, so you got to go there. Okay, Maui?
Thanks a bunch, Danielle. It's always a pleasure being on your show. And Tim, you know, great luck with the television thing. I think you guys knocked it out of the park with that. So all the best to you.
Thank you, Jerry.
And Jason Cotani's right here, too. Yeah, there you go, Jason. Yeah, you're pulling it all together. Right on. You don't look old enough, by the way, Jason, to fold this off. We've got joining us right now from Aloha Golf Center is Joey Tadeo, who's been listening to this conversation. Joey, did you want to say anything about Joey, are you there?
Hi, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. Interesting conversation, yeah?
Yeah, I've been enjoying the last hour of the show on the radio, and then I just called in a little while ago. But
oh, cool! We're just, you know, you having been, I mean, a professional golfer and now setting up shop to get people to come and learn the game and figure out their swing. And I love the camera that you've got in your shop, which will show me exactly what I'm doing with my putter. Which isn't, I was pretty surprised. Were you surprised that I could putt that well? Huh?
we're never surprised by how well people can putt. Even people who don't get to play as much as they'd like to come in and they'll surprise us, roll the ball really well, you know, sink some putts. So, was I expecting it? No. Was I surprised? Maybe a little bit, but, you know, I've seen it enough times where, you know, didn't take me totally off guard.
Cool. How many frames per second does that camera catch?
It catches approximately 1,000 frames per second at its fastest. Usually we don't need to go that fast, but it's nice to know that we can when we have to.
Yeah. We've got Jason Cotani here with us, and he's pulled together on Channel 11, on Oceanic Channel 11, and on the neighbor islands, they'll be able to see it. What channel will be that on, Jason?
Channel 3 on Maui and 14 on the Big Island.
Channel 3 on Maui,
yeah.
14 on the Big Island.
It's KWHE-TV 14 is the station.
Excellent. And you'll be watching live Mid-Pac Open coverage tomorrow, the last four holes. How are you setting this up?
From 12 to 3. We put cameras on the course. There's about six, right?
Six or seven, yeah.
Six or seven cameras. and there's a couple of them that are roaming cameras that'll be following
the players.
The players. And
where will you guys be?
I roll. No, I mean, we're going to be somewhere.
We will.
You know, Danielle, you got to understand that this is the first time we're doing it.
No, I do. Totally.
And this is going to be a creative challenge because there's a lot of things that you don't realize what you got to do when you throw someone up on the screen. You got to know where they are in relative to the field, where they are on the hole they're at, what shot they're playing. And Jason and I, we've been talking over this for the last couple of weeks trying to put this together. You won't believe the analog approach to this digital problem we're taking.
I totally understand the analog approach to the digital problem, and that's probably the only way that you can actually work through it and get it to the digital level.
Yeah.
Because you have to take baby steps. But the thing is, these guys that are on Golf Channel, they have people talking to them in their headset. They've got people doing research for them. They're talking like nothing's going on, like they've got all the answers to everything. They've got people telling them what's going on. Oh, yeah, this guy's just a 6-iron and he's 150, whatever. You know, they have it all down for the announcer. The person who's down following is whispering kind of like this. Well, she or he is sitting there. She can see the club being pulled from the bag, and she can see the distance because she's probably a professional player herself. Like, that's where your expertise will be invaluable because you're a player. And of course, Jason, too, because you're a player, so it's good you'll be able to get that. But it's very difficult to be able to translate that into, okay, now you're on the air.
You know, it's funny, Danielle, we went out a couple of weeks ago and we filmed some scenes out on the golf course, what the players can be expecting on 15, 16, 17, and 18. And all of our comments were oriented towards prevailing trade winds. We ain't got no trade winds. We got a little bit of cone action, so everything that we said on camera at that day was going to be like, well, we're adjusting now.
Yes, that's golf.
Yeah.
That's golf, that's television. I mean, and live, I really, hats off to you. I know about live television, and you've got to roll with it. You never know what's going to happen, so... It's gonna be as long as you keep a really positive, like happy-go-lucky frame of mind, you'll be okay. It's when you take yourself too seriously. Does that sound like golf to you?
It's like life.
Exactly. It's been a real pleasure talking with both of you this morning. I don't know if you've got to run away or.
No, I got one more thing I want to say though.
Please.
But I can stay forever. But
okay.
I do want to give a shout out to the ladies. We've got the 60-second Jenny K Invitational coming up.
Yeah, we had a chat with Lorna.
Oh, so she talked
came,
about it.
Oh yeah, we
okay.
came and we talked about it. I said, wait a minute, you're one of the only women that's not over at Coalina setting up for the Lotte.
Okay.
She goes. No, I'm here, and it's, as we thought, they're sold out pretty much, unless it's championship or A-flight, and it's all amateurs now, and we talked about, you know, if you want to get serious and get ready for next year, now's the time to do it, and you'll learn where your game is weak if you take on competition. You guys, I wish I were here to help you tomorrow. I would actually like to be here to help you.
Call in.
Call in?
Yeah.
How do you
have a call in? Well, I don't know, cell phone, put it up next to the mic. We're analog, baby. We're analog.
Come and go. I'll run around. Do you have a control? You've got a truck. Do you have a director? Who's your director?
Our director is Tracy, and Dave Goldberg is the production manager.
Okay.
Jay Hinazumi from the ACG.
We got an ace in the hole because Jay Hinazumi's volunteered to come out and prompt us and tell us some background information on the players that we're seeing. So we're trying to cover our bases.
Okay, so you guys are going to be talking about target golf tomorrow unless the winds pick up. Basically, you know, it's going to be... So don't worry about the trade wind subject. That's gone. Now you can talk about that laser hitting the club,
right?
That's it. It's laser golf. That's what you're talking about. Okay, thanks a lot, guys. We'll be back after this. Maybe Tim will be with us still. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinning do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We're talking with Joey Tadeo from the Aloha Golf Center. Joey is the Aloha Golf Center, along with Adam Tamashiro. And thank you so much for being on the show, Joey. What do you offer at the Golf Center? I mean, you've got club fitting, you do lessons, you do everything, right?
We try and be a one-stop shop in regards to golfing. So, you know, we do a lot of fittings. We have a specialized club repair, lessons, a little bit of retail, pretty much whatever golfer could need or want, we have it.
Where are you exactly?
We are off of Dillingham in the City Square Shopping Center. If you're not familiar with that, it's the same complex that the DMV and Chuck E. Cheese is in, but we're Makai.
Yeah, you're at the DMV. We all know where that is. Because we all have to go.
Yeah, that's where everyone has to go and, you know, kill time.
Yes.
All the golfers usually come up to us when they have to kill some time before an appointment there, or when they have their son or daughter, you know, taking a test.
Standing in line.
Exactly.
Hold my place in line. I'm going to go up and see Joey at the Aloha Golf Center. That sounds like a good plan to me. You're also the official Bettinardi fitter here, right?
We are the official Bettinardi fitter, as well as Adams Golf. We're the Adams Golf fitting center for Hawaii.
Excellent. Okay. We were talking with Jason Kotani about, do you know that they're going to broadcast live the last four holes of the Mid-Pack Open tomorrow?
I saw a little blurb on it, and then, you know, I was listening in. So sounds like a lot of exciting things going on for Mid-Pack Open and the club.
And for Hawaii Golf, because this isn't the only event that you're going to do this, right, Jason?
Right. We're going to do, we're looking into the Manoa Cup and some junior tournaments later on throughout the year.
Wow. So, and now, when we went off the air, Jason was, you have one truck. Tell me what the Golf Channel does.
Yeah, we have one truck. The Golf Channel's got maybe four or five trucks. Four or five times bigger than the truck that we got, and they have about 150 more people than we have to. So I mean, it's an uphill thing, but we're going to make sure that it looks great.
Yeah. No, what is important is that you start.
Right.
You know, right? I mean, what you're trying to say is, hey, we've got one truck, and it's, you know, it's a little truck. When you watch Golf Channel, they've got like these big tractor-trailer rig trucks.
Right.
Right? And
yeah,
they've got 150 people scurrying around to do background work and cables and all that stuff. And plus you've got to make sure those cables don't get away with the golfers.
Right.
And that's a major challenge.
Yeah.
So the good thing about technology today is that we're getting those wireless cameras that will one day take the place of all those cables.
That's right.
And that's going to be exciting because then we can do a broadcast a golf tournament from, doesn't matter what the terrain is like, you
right.
can do it from anywhere without worrying about those cables. So you'll be around for that, right?
Eventually, we'll get there.
You'll get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we will.
Jason Cotani, thanks so much for being on the show.
No problem.
It's been excellent.
Yeah.
And we'll talk soon, okay?
Yes.
Okay, we'll keep, and you'll be on again during the Manoa Cup.
Yeah, we'll definitely be on again, and then we're also going to put together a show featuring the local golfers, featuring people who've been involved in the sport of golf, you know, for
forever. Right.
You know,
right.
Continuing to keep the sport in Hawaii and to keep it alive. So people like Jay Hinazumi will go around, check out some general managers, some of the courses. Of course, you'll be on.
Oh, thank you so much.
But we'll get the local golfers and we'll show what they go through every single day. These 15, 14, 13-year-olds, they get dropped off at the course and they're there. They're actually practicing and hitting 150 to 200 putts. And chips a day by themselves on the green. And, you know, we'll show what they go through to get to where they're at. And that's one of the main drives for the show, to get these guys some recognition and exposure for all the time and effort they put into this game.
Excellent.
And, if anybody needs any more information, www.hawaiitvgolf.com.
www.hawaiitvgolf.com.
All spelled out.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
Okay.
So exciting. Just really exciting. Okay, Billy the Goat's back. And, of course, we've got Joey Tadeo and Adam Tamashiro. Now, anytime you want, I want you to just chime in. But if you've had this kind of experience, Joey, I understand that John Ellis had one of those moments in golf that you just say, thank you, Rock. Could you tell us what happened yesterday?
Yeah, I got this from the spotters. Lee was out there on number five, which is our water hole. You know, you've got that's the one with the island green.
Yes.
Okay, so evidently John hit a great drive, and he's hitting just an iron into a par five for his second shot.
He went off the tee at a par five with an iron. Blew my mind.
Yeah, well, he went off with a drive for the second shot. You know, for most of us, we can't get there until, he's going on with an iron. So anyway, so according to Lee, he was watching the shot, and he hits a beautiful shot, and then he's going, oh, my gosh, it's not going to get there. It's not going to get there. It's not going to get there. And it just barely got there, hit the rocks on the front of the island. And then everybody was going, where did it go? Where did it go? You know, and it actually kicked backwards, back across the water, you know, back onto the fairway just over the cart path. And my understanding is that he was able to get up and down for a birdie and ended up with a 68 for the day.
So it wasn't, oh, my God, a rock helped me. It was, oh, my God, a rock hurt me.
Oh, well, you know, most of the time you're either going to be in the water, so you got a penalty stroke, or that thing is going to, you know, who knows where the heck it's going to end up. So what's he end up with? Yeah.
67?
68.
Oh, sorry, 68.
But I mean, you know, it's those things. And by the way, just because you were talking about the greens and stuff, the number 13 yesterday.
That terrible hole, yes.
Well,
no, it's par four, and it's playing, I think, the hardest of all the holes.
It probably, yeah, it depends on where he puts the pin. Of course, where Jason put it, lovely Jason.
Uh-huh,
you know,
he's
right?
Mean.
He's mean. He puts the pin on the right-hand side. As you say, you know, there are these crowned greens.
The turtlebacks.
Yeah, the turtlebacks. So he's got it on the right-hand side. Dave Tebow.
Tim's friend, Dave.
No, this is Tim's friend, Dave. He plays the Conocopila at night, you know, on Sundays. But anyway, so he hits a great drive, and then he hits an 8-iron. And he said he hit this 8-iron. It looked like it was going right at the pin. It hits just a few yards from the pin, and the guys are going, great shot, great shot. And then it starts to move.
Oh.
And because he hit it just a little bit too far to the right,
oh,
you know, on that crown green.
Yes.
And so then it starts to go. And if you know where that terrain is, off the green, down into the gully, double bogey, misses the cut.
Wow.
So one guy hits the rock. Gets the birdie. The other guy hits a great shot,
and still loses because he's off the green and into the, you know, the scrub. Yes.
So,
well, number 13 was playing the most difficult. It's a par four, and it was playing like 4.99, almost like a five. So it was just amazing. So Joey Tadeo, you've played this course before. Tell us some of your impressions of the Mid-Pacific Country Club.
Great club, usually in excellent condition. I've played several Mid-Pac Opens. Last Mid-Pac Open I played, I think I missed the cut by one shot. And, you know, missing the cut by one shot is always pretty devastating. You know, what could have been? You know, I think I missed like a 2-foot putt, you know, somewhere along, you know, that round to miss it by one. But, you know, you have to be sharp with your game, with your ball control, and also you need to be mentally tough because Mid-Pac Country Club will beat you up, you know, during the Mid-Pac Open in those conditions.
Oh, why is that? What is it about? It looks so benign. I'm looking out over the golf course from the general manager's picturesque view here. It's just, it's gorgeous. It doesn't look that difficult.
It is gorgeous, and, you know, it's unassuming sometimes. But once you get the greens rolling fast, you get the rough up, you know, and you have a superintendent that likes to tuck pins, you know, that's a good recipe for some high scores and for some very disgruntled golfers sometimes.
Very disgruntled golfers. Yeah, that's putting it mildly. Go ahead.
I was gonna say one of the things that absolutely changes the course is where the pin is. And if you take a look at like number 10, we've got this platform off to the left, and then it slopes down. Then you've got the rest of the green. Well, what Jason did on the first day, and I've played this pin a few times. He puts the pin on that top shelf.
Top here, yes.
Very close to where it drops off.
Right. Oh, right. But
okay.
Yes. Oh, God.
So let's say that you're a little bit long and you're right and you're putting back at it, trying to come up that slope and just get close to the pin.
Yeah.
Well, if you did like I did, didn't hit it quite hard enough, comes up that slope and all of a sudden makes a U-turn and boom, back off the green down. Now you're like 40 yards away from the pin. You're just going, what just happened?
I'm going backwards instead of forwards.
Yeah, and that's a pin that looks like it's in the middle of the green. It looks like it's in the middle of the green. So it's all about how close you put this pin to the edges, how close you put it to a little undulation. I mean, you can have a 2-foot putt that's downhill a slope, and you know if you don't hit the hole, you're
aloha.
Dead meat. Yeah.
Bye bye.
Yeah.
Bye bye. Do you have those experiences, Joey?
Definitely. I've played in the tournament where, you know, you have a pretty reasonable putt for birdie, and then you walk off with a double. You know, you go from putting to chipping. I've seen my playing partners on some holes have, you know, maybe a 2-footer for birdie, and they end up with double. So, you know, you have to be able to put that ball in a spot that will afford you, you know, a 2-putt at worst, which is tough with some of these pin conditions, with these pin placements. But, you know, the guy who does it the best and the guy who putts the best is usually the one who's holding the trophy at the end of the tournament.
Absolutely. The question is, why would you want to put yourself through something like this?
Well, you know, every golfer, especially when you hit, you know, top amateur level or professional level, they aspire to win. You play, hopefully you play to win. You know, you play for the competition, and everyone who enters the Mid-Pac Open, I think in their mind, they feel that they can win the tournament. So, you know, it might not necessarily be their week, but, you know, sometimes it's your week, sometimes it's not. Again, it's just depending on who places the ball the best, who putts the best, and who gets that lucky break once in a while, you know, like that great bounce off a rock or off a tree that keeps your momentum and your round going.
Exactly. And that's really what you need to walk away with. You can't walk away with saying, oh, I just lost. I didn't win, or I've done so terribly. You've put yourself in a position, you've practiced, you've done your best, and then you take what comes, and it's not a reflection of who you are. It's a reflection of the day of golf. That's all it is. It's difficult sometimes to put it into that perspective. I was thinking about, we were talking with Tim Dietrich earlier about what tennis did. A lot of people, they would get the racket, of course. So we've talked about club fitting all the time, and the Aloha Golf Center is definitely the place to go to for club fitting, all different kinds of clubs, and they're right in the middle of town by on Dillingham Boulevard near the DMV. So they also took rackets. Remember when they took tennis rackets and really buffed them up with the grips? I got acknowledged that you can tape when you... Some people don't realize that the changes you can do to a grip, and you've got oversized grips that you can work with as well, and shafts, too, that you can really help a person get the best out of their game, whatever it may be. Tell us about that, Joey.
Well, a lot of people have a misconception that you need to be, you know, a high-level golfer to benefit from club fitting, but, you know, we offer various services, you know, things as basic as grip size might really affect the way you play golf. You know, a lot of people have large hands or maybe a little bit of arthritis in their hands and are not able to hold on to the club with the proper amount of grip pressure because the grip might be too small. So, like what you mentioned, an oversized grip might be the fix. Or, you know, we can go as detailed as finding the right shaft, finding the right shaft that will optimize your numbers, your launch conditions, as far as spin rate, your launch angle, you know, your ball speed, things like that. So, you know, you don't have to be a very technical player to benefit from club fitting. But the main thing is, you know, if you think you could improve on performance, you most likely can. So if you come in, we'll fix you up.
All right. What are your hours? When are you open?
We're open on weekdays from 10 to 6 and Saturdays 10 to 5. Sundays we're closed.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you can take a day off? Okay. So I can come in. I can have my clubs fitted. I can have this. I can buy clubs from you.
You can pretty much do it all. You can.
I can get a lesson.
Fitted. So we can work with what you have existing. We could find that new set that you're always looking for that could potentially get you that extra 20 yards or 30 yards, or some people, you know, in rare cases, maybe even 50 yards. If your clubs, especially if your driver is ill-fitting, you know, you can potentially lose a lot of distance, you know, just from the way the ball flies, how much it spins, and various things like that.
What's the phone number?
687-0888. Hopefully that's an easy number.
Yes, it is. 687-0888. Excellent. Joey Tadeo, thanks so much for being on the show. Adam Tamashiro, it's great. I got to come in and take a lesson, okay? And I got to get my putter fitted. And so I'm going to make it a point of being there.
Definitely.
At 10
please
o'clock.
Please stop in anytime. You know, we always like to see you.
Yeah, and I love being there. It's kind of, you know, the Aloha Golf Center has this feeling. You feel like you're in, like, somebody's, like, garage, just hanging out, like, old kind days. Yeah, it's very, very comfortable. Thank you, Joey.
Thank you.
Okay, aloha. And I want to thank the people who make the golf club possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr., bordered by Emerald Green Mountain, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship, the Heiau. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. Sheet metal, hey, you need a new roof? Flashing, gutters, downspouts, ducts for your AC, commercial kitchen, a custom stainless steel counter? Yeah, they make it. They'll help you design it. They'll fabricate it. It's Alakai Mechanical. Star protection for property threats and risk assessment. So you got to have your threat and risk to the property around you assessed before you can get it protected. That's what they do. They specialize in looking where your weaknesses are for your home or your business, for your concert, a special event. Yes, get Star on your property. The Star team, they're here in Hawaii and California. Avance for color, cut, silkening technology, whether you want extensions, you want conservative They do beautiful men's cuts, manicures, pedicures. It's good for your feet, good for your hands, good for your game. And thank you very much for listening to the show. You can always catch us at RadioGolfClub.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.